Well, it was supposed to be a service to promote reflection and hope, but instead it put the president at the centre of a political storm. Michael D. Higgins' decision to decline an invitation to attend a religious ceremony organised by the main Christian leaders to mark the centenaries of the partition of Ireland and the formation of Northern Ireland has prompted debate and division about how these historical milestones should be marked. Earlier this morning, we spoke to two of the organisers of the event, the Catholic Primate of All Ireland, Archbishop Eamon Martin, and the Church of Ireland's Primate of All Ireland, Archbishop John McDowell. I began by asking Archbishop Martin when he and other religious leaders became aware of President Higgins had an issue with the title of the service and if they considered changing that title.
But I think there must be some misunderstanding. Back in March, we shared some concerns that our service, which we were proposing, was being taken in a different direction. But we were unaware about this issue to do with the title. But it's very important for me to say today, very, very clearly, what this service is and what it is not. It was never, and it is not, a celebration. It is very much a moment of acknowledgement, taking account of the fact that there are very different narratives out there about 1921. I know myself that whenever we ourselves at the church leaders group table started to discuss this, I shared with my brothers and sisters in the church leaders group that for me, 1921 and partition was very much a time of loss, of separation, something that I regret very much, and that for me, any service that we had must acknowledge the lament over the issue of partition, which, you know, has brought for me and for many people in my community, you know, so much grief, a sense of bereavement, really, in 1921. And I think that our church leaders group were very much aware that what we were going to do here was to try to hold together, in a certain amount of tension, the different narratives and acknowledge that this is really about prayer, about worship of God, trying to present a moment where we can be together with these different narratives and yet looking to the future with hope.
So at what stage, just to be clear, did you become aware that President Higgins had an issue with this title?
We've only learned that this week. The President, we were really hopeful and we believed that the President would be able to attend. But listen, this is his decision and we're very conscious that anyone that we invite must make up their own mind and must be very comfortable with being present. And clearly the President had his reasons and we have to respect that.
John McDowell, the description of this service to mark the centenaries of the partition of Ireland and the formation of Northern Ireland seems to be what caused the issues for President Higgins. Why was it important to you to use that terminology?
The formation of Northern Ireland and the partition of Ireland are opposite sides of the same coin in a way. You know, you can't have one in one sense without the other. They're both historical facts. We can't deny the consequences of them, of course, are felt very differently by different groups of people. Some people saw both events as a tragedy, as it were. Some people saw both events as a triumph. A lot of us, looking back historically, see them as ambivalent, with all sorts of mixed up consequences coming from them. So what we felt we were going to do, and I suppose one of the reasons why we were very keen to have President Higgins was not just because of the office he holds as head of state, which is very, very important, but also because of the man he is. Someone who over a lifetime has committed himself to peacemaking, to reconciliation, and to doing what we hope we're doing here, which is to create a space to have conversations about subjects that are difficult, that are contentious, but in an atmosphere of mutual respect, not cheerleading and not being rumbustious about it, but trying to have calm reflection. In our case, a service of worship in the presence of God. But also we've tried to reflect that on other things we've said and done in this very, very sensitive year. So that's why, in the sense, there were historical facts that we needed to look in the face.
President Higgins said on Friday that what started out as an invitation to a religious event had in fact turned into a political statement. Were you making a political statement and how do you respond to that charge?
No, and I mean, there are lots. I mean, these are very complex events to try to set up where you're speaking to, we have been speaking to officials in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, in Great Britain for months and months as we have developed the service. trying to make sure that what we were going to do was an event that people would feel comfortable coming to. Had anybody made us aware at any time? Now, there was a bump in the road just before St. Patrick's Day, as Archbishop Eamon has said, when our event got included in a list of events which weren't of a similar nature at all. And I know there were officials in Dublin who were very upset about that. But even before they communicated that to us, we put out a statement to say that our event was completely different. It wasn't of that nature. It's perfectly fine for people to have other types of events. It wasn't of that nature, and got it back on track as something which we were in control of and was a service of Christian worship and which we were going to call ordinary people together. So if someone had made us aware, you know, back then that there was a problem with it, of course we would have looked at it. Of course we would have.
Eamon Martin, do you accept President Higgins' charge that you were making a political statement? And how did you feel when you heard him say that?
Well, look, we're church leaders. We realise that anything at all connected with a partition, connected with this island, is in danger of being interpreted in a polarised manner. We're very conscious. In fact, way back at the beginning of this year, we appealed that 2021 would not be a reason for continued division and wounding and fracturing and further alienation of people on this island, but might provide a moment, as Archbishop John has said, to deepen our understanding. And that is why the churches have been organising a range of events. Indeed, on Friday, the Presbyterian Church was organising an event to promote dialogue and understanding and to try to include people. We were very clear that this particular moment in the St. Patrick's Cathedral, the Church of Ireland Cathedral in Armagh, was a moment of prayer, a moment to try to connect us with the God of the past, the present and the future, a moment in which we would be pursuing the things that make for peace, as St. Paul says, and the building up of one another. That's what we are about, and that's what we're hoping that this event actually will be.
The historian Dermot Ferriter and a number of other commentators said you displayed naivety in choosing the name of this event. Do you accept that you might have gotten it wrong here? And given the commentary that sprung up around it, in particular from Catholics and Nationalists supporting President Higgins' decision, do you think that he could perhaps be more in tune with the public mood than you are?
We are, Archbishop John and I are living in Armagh. We're in a diocese which was separated in 1921. We have parishes which were separated from one another. We're living in the context of Brexit, the protocol, sectarian violence and riots on our streets. We're aware of the absolute fragility of the power-sharing executive. Into that space we were trying to inject, and we are injecting, prayer, hope, reflection and an opportunity for people to get together. We are not naive. We realise that the very contentious space that is. And yet we are hopeful that in Ireland we need to create these spaces. We need to be together. I mean, people are talking about constitutional change, about trying to build greater harmony and unity on this island. We believe that as church leaders, we need to create those spaces, however difficult it might seem.
John McDowell, there's been much upset in unionism about President Higgins' decision and a lot of division and debate around what's happened here. You and the other church leaders said this service of reflection and hope is offered as a contribution to the work of building community and deepening relationships. Do you think it's going to be able to achieve that now?
Well, I suppose what we have witnessed over the past few days is an underlining of the need for just that. You know, when these things come into the public eye or when debates begin, immediately it seems people polarise and feel they have to come down in a manner of kind of judgment. And the intention of this service, and I think it really does underline the need for it, what has been going on, the intention of this service is to create spaces where people can address one another with respect, even on very, very difficult subjects, where the people in the room, whether it's a church or whatever sort of a room it is, feel very strongly and very differently about whatever's in the title.
Do you accept President Higgins' reasoning for not attending this event? And from what you're saying, all of this came as news to you. Do you think there's space to talk about it and maybe try and convince him to come to the event?
We absolutely respect President Higgins' decision, and we know that he will not have made that lightly, that he'll have made it conscientiously, and we our respect for him is as it was. So far as we can see, is where that ship has sailed. Last thing we want to do is to rake over embers, but simply to, as it were, put out there that this is a service for people. And I hope people, even if they can't be in the cathedral that day, people will join us online or join us by watching it on television. We'll carry on. You know, when you're in the work of reconciliation, anybody who's done it, particularly in Northern Ireland, but also in these islands, you have your disappointments. But nevertheless, you carry on with the work which you think you've been called to do.
That was the Church of Ireland Primate of All Ireland, Archbishop John McDowell, and the Catholic Primate of All Ireland, Archbishop Eamon Martin, speaking to us a little earlier. Well, to look more at the issues raised by the week's events, we're joined from our Belfast studio by political historian Dr. Eamon Phoenix, who's also a member of the Taoiseach's Expert Advisory Group on Commemorations. Dr. Phoenix, thanks for speaking to us on This Week.
Not at all.
Were you surprised by what happened during the week?
I suppose I was in a way, because those of us who have been involved really in public history in the last 10 years, looking at the decade of centenaries, which obviously divides people. People are divided about the origins of Northern Ireland, the Carson's Army, the 1916 Rising, but particularly partition. And we've tried to find ways of actually encompassing both traditions and remembering these at exhibitions, at talks, at dramas all along. And we've had a series of principles which have guided this. Look only at the facts, acknowledge that there are various narratives to this and so on. So in many ways, as we approach this kind of key year, the partition of Ireland, the idea was to kind of broaden it out, to engage people from both traditions in the north and on the island. So the idea was, for example, to have the partition of Ireland, which would appeal to nationalists, because nationalists will oppose partition, they have very strong views on it. And then, of course, the formation of Northern Ireland, which is something that unionists see as something that they believe was right to happen, and they are actually celebrating 100 years of their state. So that broad title reflected what historians, museums, community relations people tried to do 5 years ago during the anniversary of 1916. There was an attempt to balance the Easter Rising with the Battle of the Somme. Different events affecting different communities, but both blood sacrifices. And that worked very well. That meant that from South Armagh to kind of Unionist North Antrim, from the Shankill to the Falls, people were able to attend events which looked at the Rising and the Somme in the round. So I think there was obviously I had nothing to do with the choice of the title by the archbishops and the churchmen, but clearly they were trying to follow that kind of precedent which had worked in the past of broadening it out. I don't think there was any attention to make a political point.
And so do you think it was fair of the president to say that what was a religious event had turned into a political statement?
Well, clearly I don't know all the facts, but clearly, he wouldn't have been following the train of events here since 2012, when every event had to be carefully nuanced by those, in the public space. And I think he would have known from the 1916 precedent of balancing events that the same thing was trying to do here. But obviously, he probably wouldn't have been aware of the detail of this. But I think that was chosen as the least contentious approach to something that is very divisive to this day, because we are thinking back, many of us, to 50 years ago, when in the last days of the last Unionist government of Brian Faulkner, they celebrated Ulster 71, which was a very one-sided unionist triumphalist event. And the whole sort of public mood, obviously post the Good Friday Agreement and given the fragility of the executive at the moment, the whole idea had been to kind of balance this and create a kind of a comfortable space for nationalists, unionists, loyalists, republicans, people across the island generally.
And generally speaking, commemorating Northern Ireland, how much of a challenge is that for particularly the Catholic Church? And do you think that maybe they've misjudged the public mood this time around?
It's always difficult to judge the public mood. But I think you can't avoid a centenary. And I say this as an historian, you can't avoid the centenary of partition and the creation of the Northern Irish state 100 years ago. It's impacted, the 1.8 million people who live here, their ancestors. It was, of course, born amidst violent blood pangs. 450 50 people died violently in Belfast, 10,000 Catholics were driven from their jobs. It was followed by gerrymandering, discrimination, the Ulster Special Constabulary, a sectarian force. All of that, of course, has to be looked at. So we have to acknowledge all the facts. I think we can't shy away from it because, of course, the problems of the early 20s and those unresolved issues and the fact that the British government turned a blind eye to what was happening in its devolved region meant that we had, of course, the civil rights movement of the 1960s and, you know, all of that tensions and violence perhaps that followed. So I think we have to look at it. And the whole idea was to try to create a kind of an entree for as many people as possible across this very divided society here in the north.
Do you understand the difficulties that President Higgins had with being a part of this event? And do you think that maybe there was more than just the title?
Well, I think it was always going to be touch and go whether he could attend. We think back to January last year and the row over the proposed commemoration of the Royal Irish Constabulary. I mean, an all-Ireland force, a mainly Catholic force, which served the whole of Ireland for nearly 100 years. But it became mired in controversy. And suddenly, all of these unhealed wounds began to emerge last year as people identified the commemoration with somehow commemorating the Black and Tans and the brutal reprisals of the War of Independence period. And there was a spectrum of opinion from Fine Gael right across to Sinn Féin, suddenly rearing up about that. So I think undoubtedly that created a climate where people realise that, you know, the best led intentions of the Archbishop, of many people on this island to promote mutual understanding, dialogue, reconciliation, can suddenly bring you into a minefield. And I think nothing is more divisive than partition. And I suppose the President had to consider all of these issues.
And finally and briefly, if you can, what now for the government and their representation at this? If they're invited, what will they need to do here?
Well, I think it creates difficulties for the government. They will be, first of all, affrighted that they're actually, if you like, undermining the role of the president if they send a high-level representative to this event. I think the event becomes tainted because of the controversy of the last few days. It's a coalition government as well. And of course, it's a coalition government which isn't doing that well at the polls. So all of that's going to concentrate minds, I think, in Leinster House and in government buildings in Dublin in the next few days.
OK, Dr. Eamon Phoenix, political historian, thanks for speaking to us on this week.